speech of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord.
My rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Would you like to be called to be the Lord's disciple? A disciple is someone who learns the master's words and submits to the master's discipline. Then you could qualify to become an apostle, someone sent out, commissioned to do a job for him, especially to teach others. Possibly we feel like Peter in the story, unworthy, sinful, very uncomfortable in his presence, and afraid we are being asked to take on too much. But the 12 disciples were very ordinary, imperfect people, yet they were chosen and sent out by the Lord. They went to heaven, where they were sent out again to proclaim the Lord's second coming, which they did with zeal and industry. The story of their call shows how we too can be called and chosen. Simon Peter was the first to be called. It was his boat from which the Lord was teaching at the beginning of the story. The name Simon means hearing, paying attention, and obeying. Peter means rock, which stands for truth and faith in the Word. Peter's personality suited him to represent truth. He was the one who most often spoke to Jesus, asking and answering questions. The first step to becoming someone who follows the Lord is to ask the Lord lots of questions and listen for his answers in the Word with a willingness to obey. Simon and his partners were fishermen. Fish correspond to knowledge. Fish live in the water, which corresponds to the truth. They live low down, corresponding to low-level knowledge, such as the literal meaning of the word, the mere facts of science, practical skills at work and at home, and so forth. A fisherman in the spiritual sense is someone who investigates or fishes for knowledge. A fisherman eats some and sells the rest of the fish he catches, just as a person both uses his knowledge and shares it with others. We are all interested in learning certain kinds of things because we believe the knowledge will improve our lives, make our work more productive and our relationships go better, or give us a skill that we will enjoy. So spiritually, fishing means to amend and improve our lives by the knowledge we learn. It means applying the master's teachings to acquire self-discipline. Natural truth or knowledge has to come first before spiritual truth. We work up from the concrete to the abstract. We need the concrete as the basis from which the Lord can lead us to see higher, more universal truths. It's good for us to read the Word regularly, to become familiar with the literal sense of the Word. It is the container of all spiritual and celestial truths and goods, which we can gradually grow into. It is also useful for us to cast our nets wide in the sciences, history, literature, news, and other information in the natural world, and look for connections between the Word and life. To become good disciples, we need to be spiritual fishermen. In fact, the Lord called a brilliant scientist to serve as the messenger of his second coming, just as he chose fishermen to spread the knowledge of his first coming. Once someone asked Swedenborg how, having started out as a scientist and a philosopher, he became a theologian. He answered, just the way fishermen became disciples and apostles of the Lord. In fact, from early youth, I too had been a spiritual fisherman. When the person asked, what's a spiritual fisherman? Swedenborg replied, a person who investigates and teaches natural truths and afterwards spiritual truths in a rational manner. After some more discussion, Swedenborg's friend said, now I understand why the Lord chose fishermen to be his disciples, And therefore, I am not surprised that he has also chosen you, since as you observed, from early youth you were a fisherman in the spiritual sense, that is, an investigator of natural truths. And the reason you have now become an investigator of spiritual truths is that spiritual truths are based on natural truths. We too need to study natural truths as a basis for understanding and applying spiritual truths. This is a reason for New Church education, to help children become curious, successful, spiritual fishermen. Our goal is to help them catch a good stock of natural knowledge and skills from the Word and from academic disciplines and from work experience. We want to help our children and help each other as adults as well to organize knowledge as the way to perceive spiritual truths. Spiritual truths are about God, heaven and hell, and the life that leads to heaven. In addition to teaching the literal stories from the Word, we want to help our children apply the Word to life and build up a good knowledge of the Lord so that they can see Him for themselves as they become adults. We do not want them to learn history merely as human events in a random world, but to look for signs of the divine providence, the Lord's purposes, and the spiritual causes underlying events. When we study biology, we can see how all things look toward the human form in the ascent of species, looking toward the divine man who created them. We can think about how all things were made to serve mankind and through us to serve the Lord when we live an orderly life. It's the same in all areas of life. We learn many useful skills. At first, we learn them as if they were valuable in themselves, or primarily so that we can earn a living. Later, the Lord leads us to see our knowledge and skills from an eternal perspective, as a way to serve the neighbor, and so to serve the Lord. Then natural truth becomes the basis for spiritual truth. The Lord chose fishermen, representing people who take an interest in natural truth, because the people to whom the disciples were going to spread the gospel were natural, worldly people. At that time, there was hardly any knowledge of or interest in spiritual things. The Lord taught love to the neighbor as a new commandment. He taught monogamous marriage without permission to divorce as a shockingly new concept to the disciples. Heaven was mostly unknown at the time the Lord came. So the Lord spoke in parables, stories about natural world activities. He accommodated his teaching to a level they would understand, and at the same time, he protected them from concepts they were not ready for. The world does not seem to have advanced much spiritually since the Lord's first coming. The main difference is that we have much more natural knowledge than we had 2,000 years ago. In His providence, the Lord has led us to explore and investigate many things about the order of the natural universe. All these wonderful discoveries can serve as a basis for seeing the order of the spiritual universe and of the Lord Himself. The correspondence between the two worlds is used extensively in the heavenly doctrine to provide us a concrete and rational understanding of the eternal reality within us and around us. Sadly, many have used this natural knowledge, linked with pride in their own intelligence, to blind themselves to spiritual things. They deny the existence of God and the holiness of the sacred scriptures. Those who want to be the Lord's disciples today need to be able to teach truths in a rational manner. That is, by using natural truths and reasoning to illustrate and confirm spiritual truths. We need to teach ourselves in this way, first of all, to protect and enrich our own faith. Then we may also be able to support our friends in their faith. Natural truths become spiritual truths with us, and we grow from being worldly people to becoming spiritual people, especially as we come to acknowledge the Lord. Simon Peter's acknowledgement came in steps. First, he said, "Master," which means teacher, "we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Toiling all night and catching nothing stands for efforts in life with little more than lip service to the Lord. We spend a lot of our lives pursuing short-term rewards. We can wake up one morning with empty nets, that is, with big questions about what the meaning of our life has been, where we're headed, and why. But if we make following the Lord our priority, even though at times it can seem impractical, unscientific, fruitless, the Lord will inspire unselfish affections and true insights that will give lasting value to our lives. And when Simon and his brother had let down the net, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. When we're trying to do what the Lord asks, love toward the neighbor and love to the Lord begin to flow in, as represented by Simon's partners, James and John, coming to help. And they filled both boats so that they began to sink. Here is a wonderful picture of how our cup runs over with the Lord's blessings when we do what he asks. So many blessings, we can't receive them all. This is the second step in Simon's acknowledgement of the Lord. He saw in a new way the extent of the Lord's power to help. Instead of calling him Master, Simon called him Lord, which means Yehovah. He fell at the Lord's knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." At times, when we glimpse the depth of the Lord's love for us, we are astonished at the greatness of his mercy. We are afraid because we know how totally undeserving we are and what sins we have committed. Sometimes people say, "I don't deserve such a happy marriage. I don't know where I got such good kids. It's not by my cleverness and hard work that our business has flourished." We see ourselves in contrast to the Lord's mercy, how unworthy we are, and we are afraid. We may even want the Lord to go away because we don't think we can live up to such a high standard of love as he has shown us. The humility and love that we see in Simon's fear show us an essential quality of someone who is becoming the Lord's disciple. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Although the Lord spoke of the disciples now catching other people, the first meaning is that they themselves were now being drawn into the Lord's kingdom. To the extent that they were able to let go of selfish attitudes and goals, to forsake all and follow him, we can catch all kinds of useful insights into how to make life work better. We catch truly human qualities and draw them into our lives. We learn to love others wisely. By so doing, we are being drawn into the Lord's kingdom. The Lord is calling every single one of us to be his disciples. He sends us to minister to the sick, demon-possessed states in ourselves, and to bring the hope and healing of his gospel to our own Gentile states. We can become his disciples. We were created to. The more we do his work within ourselves, the more he will also be able to send us to help others, our children, our friends, our colleagues at work, and people in need of spiritual support and friendship, and enable them to be drawn into the Lord's network. The heavenly doctrine says that the great number of fish prefigures the multitude of people who will be gathered into the church and so into heaven. Since we are not seeing great multitudes of people being drawn to the Lord in the general church, perhaps the Lord is establishing his church in other ways, or perhaps the great catch is still to come. But we know that the Lord is reaching out to everyone, and that he wants to give us a part in his work for our sakes as well as for others. If we work at being spiritual fishermen, investigating the teachings of the Word in relation to our lives, the Lord will give us a growing appreciation of who He is and how much He is helping us, till we gladly forsake everything else to follow Him. We will become His servants in helping others be drawn into His arms. He will say to us, as to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.